We're talking about wrestling with another world. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Let's read down to verse 18. As we work through the different items of the spiritual weaponry of a Christian. You know, I'm glad we're not on our own. Glad we don't have to find our way. Jesus is the way. And Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Ephesians 6 and starting in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Who's our enemy? The devil. Who's the one who, when you least expect it, is tracking you and stalking you and trying to ruin your life? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers, not of the politicians, even though they need a good competition. But we're not wrestling in politics. We wrestle against spiritual wickedness, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always, with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Nine verses that deal with the spiritual weapons of the Christian. And the main verse we focused on is Ephesians 6:13 last month, on ready to fight the good fight. We're at the drop of a hat ready to fight the wrong fight, usually. But the Bible tries to get us ready to fight a good fight. And as we look through these verses, if you didn't know these verses, and if you saw throughout your Bible the demonic fighting, the demonic warfare, the kingdom of God being taken by violence, if you saw all that, you'd give up. You'd give up. I mean, who would want to be a Christian? Well, the moment you get saved, you're not just going to heaven, you're going through a war. You're headed into a battle. And if we didn't have this armor, if there was no way to stand in this life, might as well not even get saved. So you can't resist, you can't fight, you can't repel and overcome an enemy without a superior force. And the superior force here is referred to as the whole armor of God. I know a lot of people say that now that I'm saved, all my problems are over. Wrong. Your problems just changed. You're not out of problems. Matter of fact, you might find yourself like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in serious trouble for following God. We sang about the Word of God that we owe a great debt to those who in ages past had to give their lives so that we can have a Bible in our lap. So how do you stand? How do you withstand? Well, you do it, what the Bible says, with the whole armor of God. It enables us to do two things, to stand and withstand. Standing is one thing where you're in the will of God. Withstanding is being able to stay in the will of God when the devil tries to move you. How many of you as kids ever played King of the Mountain? King of the Hill. Now, girls didn't play that. They played, you know, Queen of the Tea Room. I don't know what. But real boys, you know, you get up on a mountain, you say, I'm King of the Hill. And then all of a sudden, five guys says, oh, no, you're not. And then they try to knock you off. Well, the moment you are the same, the moment that you set yourself and says, I am going to be doing what God asked me to do, I'm going to find God's will and do it, is the moment the devil says, no, you're not. The Bible says, find that place, stand, and then be able to withstand. And so He gives us armor to do it. But you can't just put on a piece or two. Well, I read my Bible today. Is that all you did? Is that all you did? That's not enough. Well, I prayed today. Well, I focused on truth today. The Bible says do all of these things, put all of them on so that we can withstand against the wiles of the devil. So the Christian's armor, as we've gone through this, let's see how many remember it is. There's six pieces of armor. Who wants to raise their hand? Tell me what's the first one. Who remembers the first piece of armor? Ediberto. Yeah, it's not a fancy term, but it's the undergarment of truth, okay? It's what you have to have. Everything else rests upon truth, okay? We don't follow cunningly devised fables. Everything else is placed upon truth. And so you put truth on. So, like I used John last week, and he's in the wrong position, so I can't use him tonight. But when we had John waking up last week, remember what was the first thing that you should do when you wake up? Huh? Okay, put your armor on. But what's the first piece of armor you should put on? Truth. Wake up. Don't believe anything that's going through your head because your head has just been dreaming for 6, 7, 8 hours. Focus on truth. Start realizing, it says, I'm still a child of God. God is still on the throne. The Bible's still true. Jesus is still coming back. Focus on a truth. Put on truth. Do not go, oh, it's a Monday. Now that may be true, but that's not a good truth. Oh, I'm still married to her. Well, that may be true, but that's not a good truth. Focus on a true truth that keeps you sane, that keeps you strong. Wake up and remember a truth. Second, who remembers what the second one is? Andrew. The breastplate of righteousness. There are two righteousnesses. Whose is the first one we need? Dean. Christ's righteousness. Our own righteousness is as filthy rags. But don't negate the fact that you still need to have some righteousness of your own. Not to get to heaven, not to get saved, but to fight the devil. Can you imagine? Here I am a Christian, I have Christ's righteousness, but I live like the devil. I smoke, I watch filth on television, I hang around with friends who drag me down. You're going to tell me the devil is not winning over your life? You need to have some of your own righteousness. You need to be doing right things. So as soon as you're waking up, you need to plan on being a blessing. You need to wake up and go, you know, Christ died for me, gave me my righteousness that I have right now. I'm going to use that for a blessing to someone else. I'm going to do right this today. The devil's going to try to ditch you to do wrong. You do right. So plan on being a blessing. Third one. What's the third one? The shoes of the gospel, or the preparation of the gospel of peace. We talked about that last week. The shoes of the gospel are an unusual thing. If you try to go through life, I mean, I grew up in Texas. We didn't wear shoes until we were teenagers. it just went against our genes. But you need shoes. You need shoes to be able to stand. And it was one of those amazing things. As a matter of fact, in all the armies in the world, they spent a lot of money developing armor, Kevlar, jackets and expensive laser-guided weapons and night vision goggles. But did you know they spent a lot of money on shoes for the military? Because the shoes, when you're marching them, when they're having to go through a battlefield, if their shoes aren't right, they're stumbling, they're falling, the terrain is rough. Those shoes, as little as we think of our shoes, unless we're women, as little as we think of our shoes, they are very important. And your shoes, the things that motivate you, are the gospel. The thing that ought not to motivate you, and it's not a bad motivation, but a Christian is not motivated by success. A Christian is not motivated by quick money. A Christian is not motivated by the things of the world. We're motivated by souls. And as, again, I'm using the illustration, I ought to get John up here, and he's laying down, and he wakes up, first thing he remembers, truth. Something that is heavenly true, that is biblically true. Secondly, and he puts it on, he says, I'm wearing that all day. Then he puts on the breastplate of righteousness, he remembers, I have been made right by Jesus Christ, I will do right by my own choice today. He then puts on the gospel shoes, which means he gets out of bed and he says, I pray God, open a door, direct me to give the gospel to somebody today. I want to be ready to give the gospel of peace to somebody. That's the third thing you do. That is how you put on the whole armor of God. So the next one, I'm already ahead, we're on to tonight, the shield of faith. We're going to talk about that one thing. Grab a shield. Because there's an attacker waiting. The moment you open your eyes, he is there going, boom. And you need a shield. Helmet of salvation next. And then the sword of the Spirit. We've got two more things to talk about after this. But we talked about the undergarment of truth. All of our armor rests on it. We talked about the breastplate of righteousness and the shoes of the gospel. But tonight, I want to talk about the shield of faith. The shield of faith. Note the words there in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16 says, above all. Above all. You notice those words. That means most importantly. Now, if I was writing the Bible, I would think the sword is the most important. That's the most fun weapon, isn't it? When you're a kid, you know, you want a weapon that will hurt your opponent. But, you know, folks, you've got a sword, but most importantly, you need that shield. And Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, knows exactly what weapon we need to have active at our hand all day long. It was a shield. Now, how does a shield work? The shield is held in front of a soldier and gives us a place of safety in the midst of a battle. It's like, I can't give it any other illustration, but it's like carrying a door around, okay? You're carrying this item. You're not carrying this little thing, you know. You're carrying something the size of a door. With the Romans would carry around a shield that was not always made of metal. Sometimes people made of metal, but when a Roman soldier would go into battle, it was a very hard wood. I don't remember the kind of wood that was actually burned. The wood would be placed over a fire and not burned up, but would be heated and burned, and then would be pulled off of the fire, charred, and then leather, thick leather, would be tacked around the outer, around the edge of it, holding onto it. And you would, if you were an arrow or stones were coming, you would hide behind that shield. You would move behind that shield. And if a fiery dart came at you and hit that wood, because the wood already had been burned on the surface, it would not catch fire. It was a great piece of armor. Well thought out. And it would deflect arrows, darts, stones, and even hot oil that would constantly be raining down upon the soldiers. It's kind of cute. You go to one of these castles and they point you up and they says, you see that hole up there? That's called the murdering hole. Which means if somebody's trying to break in the door of the castle, from that hole they would throw down everything and anything they could, especially hot oil, to try to murder anybody that's trying to get in to the castle. But with these large shields, these soldiers would be able to protect themselves. And let me tell you a great truth. These large shields weren't just developed to protect one person. But with everyone in the army having a shield, they would lock themselves together in a wall of shields. And that troop could move in such a way. The Romans were well known for the fact that you almost couldn't stop them. Their shields, you see the movies and everybody's fighting with swords. Do you know the soldiers train with swords, but they also train just with shields? How in a split second, their commanding officer would say a phrase, and again, some of these things I don't remember, but he would say a phrase, he would call them to a position, and they would all lock shields, and nothing would penetrate that small battalion of men. For Romans, the shield was not just a defensive weapon as well, it was an offensive weapon. When somebody's attacking you, that shield, which is heavy by nature, when somebody's coming against you, you could throw them off balance and then bring the sword and you could do them some damage. Well, say, man, that's a rough Christianity you got. No, I got a rough enemy. And I'm no fool to say, well, you know, we just live a sweet life. Well, maybe you want to. But, you know, we're in a battle here. And that's what some of you... Let me take the sword out, the shield out, and that's what you look like after a day just trying to serve God. And you better have a shield that will protect you. You're going to need it. You're going to need it. Some of you don't realize by the end of the day you're sitting down there and you're thinking of quitting. You want to read your Bible. You want to kill your boss. Everything's gone wrong for you. You know why? You missed your shield. You missed your shield. Now, faith is just like a shield. It's just like a shield. According to our Bible, look at verse 16 again. Above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench some of the fiery darts of the wicked. No. What does it say? What a strange thing. What we usually demean, oh, faith, God says is capable of quenching all, not just the stones. I mean, it'd be nice if the devil only threw stones. I mean, stones are one thing. But he fires fiery darts at us. Faith is able to put an immediate end to all of Satan's dart attacks. I'll explain this in a few more minutes. Our faith has two uses. One, to deflect Satan's advances. And our faith is also to hit back at him when he comes at us. I can use my faith to hurt him. Our Bible, six times in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, Jesus says, he that overcometh. What does overcome mean? The devil puts a blockade there, puts an obstacle there, actually comes against and tries to put you back. And you've got to overcome that. And we've been given faith to do that. We're going to see in a few minutes. As a matter of fact, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. You can leave Ephesians for a little bit. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Let's see, we'll get Andrew, 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. If you'll do 8 and 9, please.
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world.
All right, how do I resist him?
Faith.
Yeah. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. There's your feet again. There's that withstanding again. So our adversary, the devil, walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and you can resist him steadfast in the faith. Faith alone is the only way to get saved, isn't it? For by grace are you saved through... What did you have to do? Just believe. Believe the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I mean, I get out of hell, you're free from hell. You know, when the devil comes, you're going to have a faith. You've got to have a kind of faith that you can resist the devil with. Let's go to 1 John now, chapter 5, verse 4 and 5, Jennifer. Faith is not willpower. Faith is not self-power. Faith is absolute confidence in an almighty God. 1 John 5, verse 4 and 5, Jennifer. All right, let me define faith again. You don't have faith when you think you have willpower. Well, I'm not going to smoke this cigarette anymore. That's not faith. That's willpower. I'm not going to watch that channel anymore. Oh, good, that's your choice. But that will not deliver you from that fiery dart. That's not faith. That's willpower. Faith is an absolute and confident type of faith in an almighty God who will give you the victory based upon your childlike reliance on Him, not on yourself. Now, most people have a type of faith in the government that makes God sick. Our government has taken the place of God and it's wrong. People have a misplaced type of faith in their religion. You're trusting a man at the front. You're trusting a sinner. You're trusting the traditions. You're trusting the history. You better trust God. People trust angels today. It makes me sick. I'll go up and I'll see a community notice board, and it'll be house for let, car for sale, babysitter available. Meeting. Get to know your angels. And it's like weird. People are really caught up in, I need to communicate with my angels. They're all demons, by the way. The only faith that works is the one once delivered to us. Jude says, earnestly contend for the faith. Now, what is faith? What is faith? Say it again. It is defined as usually a religious term, like people of faith. They'll talk about all kinds of faith, like the Buddhist faith, the Muslim faith, the Catholic, the Protestant, the Hindu. But what is true faith? Let's look at Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27 and verse 25. Let's see, Leo, would you read Acts 27, 25? True faith. Acts 27 and let's see. Verse 25.
Wherefore shall we be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was for me.
Do you know who's speaking there?
What?
It's the Apostle Paul. Do you know where he is at that moment? Not quite yet. Somebody said shipwreck. He's on a ship that's sinking. The storm is raging. They haven't seen the sun for 14 days. The wind won't let up. The ship is creaking and falling apart. And everybody's panicking. They all want to run and get off on rafts and escape and get out of that storm. And what does Paul say? Be of good cheer. For I believe God. I don't believe the weather, man. And how many of you are like that? Keep going. Look at Romans. Go to Romans. You're in Acts. Go to the right. Find Romans chapter 4. Pat. Romans 4, 20 and 21.
He staggered not at the promise of God, who loved him, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised was able to fulfill.
Now, sorry, I need you to go back to verse 18, because I'm kind of just cutting out too short. I want you to see Abraham here in verse 18. 18, 19, 20, 21, I should have you do. Old. So he's 100 years old. His wife's 90 years old. His body feels dead. His wife's womb is dead. Did he give one thought about all of that was against the possibility of him having a child? No. He considered not. Faith is not thinking about what can't be done. All right? He's not looking at. He's thinking about what did God say. Go on. Verse 20 now. Amen. And 21.
And being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to fulfill.
That's faith. I don't tell God what to do. The modern concept of faith is, God, I believe you're going to do great things for me. That is wrong. Faith is, Father, I read a verse in the Bible. It tells me all things are going to work together for good, and I'll trust you for that. I have another verse that tells me you only do wondrous things. I'm going to trust you for that. I don't care if it takes 6 years, 60 years. I'm going to trust you that you're going to work all things out for good. That's faith. Faith is not staggering, not stumbling at the promises. There is no reason for a Christian to think that they have blind faith. This is not blind faith. What do we base our faith on? On the Bible. But why would we believe a book? Yeah, but it proves it's God's Word, doesn't it? We have what's called reasonable faith. You're supposed to test the Bible. Believe not every spirit. Test and find out. God says it. He says, come, prove me. Find out if what I say is true. That's why He gives us prophecies. That's why He lists the histories. That's why he gives us the examples of lies. No book would be written. If you were a king, you would make sure nobody would write about your faults. And yet the Bible exposes all the faults. And he tells it like it is. This is God's book. So faith is not blind. Faith is not just a stab in the dark. It works as a shield. Now, how does all those things there? Come here. How does faith work as a shield? We'll go to Genesis 15:1. Genesis 15 and verse 1, Brother Dennis. Genesis 15 and 1. So in reality, my faith is not my shield. My God is my shield. I'm trusting God to be my shield. All right? Show you another one. Go to Psalm, middle of your Bible, Psalm 5 and verse 12, Nita. Psalm 5, verse 12. And I like this verse.
Psalm 5:12. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compassion as with a shield.
So with favor, meaning with approval, God will what?
As with a shield.
That's cool. He is your shield. He stands around you. He defends you. So the first thing is, faith works as a shield when you learn to rest behind Him. When you learn to let Him fight for you and you hold your peace. Psalm 119, 114, Nicola. Psalm 119, verse 114. I like this verse. Okay, what does a Christian do when they're in trouble? Let me show you how the modern Christian is taught to do. All right, Andrew, I need you. You're a good devil, so I need you. All right, here comes the devil. All right? When the devil shows up in my life and I recognize him as attacking, all right, put up your dukes, put up your... All right. Here he comes. This is what modern Christians are given the impression of doing. Go ahead, keep them up. I'm supposed to go, ooh, yeah, I got you. Come on. In the name of Jesus, devil, I'm getting rid of you. Is that smart? How much more power, no, not him, but how much more powerful is the devil? He's the second most powerful being in the universe. Don't you mess with him. You know what you need to do? When he shows up and puts up his fist and is about ready to knock your block off, you know what I'm doing? I am running and hiding. What does it say? Thou art my hiding place. Don't you dare take on the devil. Don't you dare. We wrestle not. I may have to wrestle with him, but I'm going to wrestle behind the Lord Jesus Christ. I like it. Thank you. You can sit down now. I need that devil illustration sometimes, and you get the idea, don't you? Faith really has no power. Can I be real plain? Faith has no power. It's the object of our faith that has power. Does that make sense? Because there's been generations of people who believe that they have great faith and they have great power in faith. They don't care what they believe in, they just have faith. And that's wrong. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I can't stop it raining. Amen? But Elijah did. Did Elijah stop it from raining because he had the power in his faith? Yes or no? No! He stopped it from raining because God said, I want you to pray and stop it from raining and I'll stop the rain. Amen. That's what God said. God didn't say, oh, Elijah wants me to stop it raining. I better go stop it from raining. No. God told Elijah, you go, you pray and tell me to stop it from raining because I'm going to stop it from raining when you tell me to. And Elijah went, cool. And everybody thought Elijah had great power. No, God, Elijah had a great God. Faith is trusting God. We've got it backwards. We want to manipulate God. We want to tell Him what to do when He's waiting for us to do what He tells us to do. So, it's hiding behind God, resting behind God as our shield. It also is letting Him be your defense. Psalm 62 and verse 6, 20-year-old. Is he really going to be 20 years old? That is scary, isn't it? Patrick, I'm sorry. I'm not there yet. Psalm 62. I'm having too much fun. Psalm 62. And verse 6. Wow. So, who only is your defense? He is. Do not get this idea of, if I just had greater faith, what did Jesus say you needed? Faith the size of a grain of mustard seed. Don't freak out and go, I don't have great faith. You don't have to have great faith. You just need to use the faith you got. Can that help anybody? You need to just wake up. What are we talking about? Your shield of faith. You may say, I should make some things so that you get the idea. You wake up and you reach over and there's this little tiny little shield. But did you know, if that faith is trusting the big God, your shield doesn't have to be visible, doesn't have to be big, it just has to be active. Does that make sense? So, because He is your defense, don't get this idea, oh, I got to have greater faith. You should have a greater confidence in God, a greater reliance upon God. But God's already great, isn't He? He is our shield. He will compass us like a shield. And what's cool, did you know, faith in God. I mean, just childlike faith in God shields us even when it doesn't seem to be there. I just don't have any faith today. Really? Take your Bible, turn to 1 Samuel 17:45. 1 Samuel 17:45. And I want you to see young David. Does anybody remember, before you read it here, Goliath has marched down a hill, called out to the entire Israeli army and says, send me out a man. Now, how is he armed? Anybody remember? He is top to toe. He has shield, sword, breastplate, helmet, shoes. He even has an armor bearer with a shield ahead of him running around. David's on the other side saying, I'm coming! What does David have? A great God. Let's look, let's read at it now. 1 Samuel 17:45. Isn't that good? So, was his shield visible? But it was there. That's the point. See, my faith is not that great. None of us are. None of us really are. Push comes to shove, we crumble. But you know what? David didn't have this great faith. He just said, Lord, here we go. He went into the battle and God did it, didn't he? God did it. We just need faith like a little child. We just say, let's see what God's going to do. Amen. Now, how does faith quench all the fiery darts? I mean, it says, whereby it shall quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Anybody know what a fiery dart is? Now, these are unique little items. Yes, ma'am. Well, okay. Really, that would be nice if the devil just tossed a few things. But a fiery dart was an arrow, okay? It was made from a hollow reed, like bamboo, and one end was stoppered, and the reed was filled with flammable liquid, like alcohol. And another stopper was put upon the back with a wick on the end, burning little wick like you would, like dynamite or whatever. And it would be shot like an arrow, at fairly close range, you couldn't shoot it from very far, and, It would be shot at the soldiers. Now the missile, this arrow, had its own fuel source, and that wick was tucked in, so it would be flying along until it hit something. And when it hit something, it would, like a grenade, it would break apart. But as soon as it broke apart, that wick would catch all that liquid on fire. So here you are, you're standing here minding your own business, you're where your commanding officer tells you to be, and that flame would engulf you, and you would be screaming, and you'd be burning, and you'd be out of commission. You weren't in the fight, you're just standing there. You needed a defense. So they gave them that shield. And what was funny was they usually did not use flaming darts at night. Because why? Why not use fiery darts at night? Anybody want? You'd see them. Look here, get out of the way. Pew, pew. You use fiery darts during the day. Because you can't see them. I don't know, you just hear this thing. And all of a sudden, it's on you. So those soldiers, listen to the words. Above all, where are you supposed to be carrying the shield? Is that how you're carrying your shield? Dragging it behind you? Where does your shield go? Because at any moment, fiery darts will come flying at you. You don't have to go looking for sin. You don't have to go looking for temptation for it to strike. According to our Bible, Satan's fiery darts are quenched. Every one of them. We're going to talk about what they are. Let me go ahead and talk about them. Satan's fiery darts are burning temptations. You know, the Bible says to a young man, if he can't contain, if he can't wait, he ought to what? Marry. It's better to marry than to burn. Because temptations, especially in the Western world, different parts of the world, people to survive have to work to eat. They can't even think about getting married. But in the Western world, we're lazy. In the Western world, we're inundated with visual stuff. All this filthy stuff. And so, yeah, the Bible says if you can't, it's better to marry than to burn. Because the devil's going to throw all kinds of fiery darts at you. And it's like, how do I deal with this? Well, get married. Amen. Burning temptations. Fiery darts are painful words by people. Somebody saying something just stabs you in the heart. Demonic thoughts, evil thoughts. You know, the devil knows very well that his most important and powerful stronghold is in our mind. Once he can attack your mind, he's got us. Once he can short circuit it, get you where... he's derailed you. You're singing, you're happy, you're praising God, and then a thought hits you. Some sound, some smell, some person. And he short-circuited you right there, hadn't he? That's a fiery dart. He sends a casual comment by a friend. It may seem innocent at first, but when it strikes, it spreads throughout our spiritual man, engulfing us in flames. Most of our battles are in our thought life. Go to James chapter 1, verse 13. James 1 in verse 13. James 1, 13 to 15, Brother Darren. Little word, four-letter word, lust. And lust is not meant to tempt you. Lust is not meant to hurt you. Lust is meant to kill you. That's a fiery dart. That's why, ladies, wives, gentlemen, you better pray. You better pray that lust doesn't get a hold of your life, because it will burn you and burn your family and burn your future. It is not meant to just hurt you. It is meant to kill you. Kill your home. Kill a church. Lust. It's a fiery dart. Go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 6. What is his name? Josiah. I cannot remember your name sometimes. Josiah, 1 Timothy 6:10. 1 Timothy 6:10. So did you know the love of money is the devil and his fiery dart piercing right through? I mean, you may have the breastplate of righteousness, but if you don't have that shield of faith up there, the love of money is something I want. And you will gladly introduce into your life if you don't have the shield of faith. How many of you have ever been under the condemnation? Under the condemnation of guilt? Do you know who, you know, as a Christian, aren't you glad for grace? Aren't you glad for forgiveness? But there are people today who are destroyed because the devil got to them with guilt that they cannot resolve. They have no idea how to get forgiven. They have no idea how to get right. And all the devil had to do was just... And it burned them. And they lost all joy, all energy. The condemnation of the law pierces you through and kills you. I could go on and on. All the fiery darts, you ought to sit down one of these times and start thinking about what are the fiery darts the devil uses against you? Because he knows what will hurt you, Dennis. He knows what will destroy Dennis. Now, God gave us our wives to help defend us. God gave us our husbands to stand and be part of that shielding there. But let me tell you this. And our children need us parents, but let me tell you this. Everybody has to have their own faith. Everybody needs to have a shield of their own. Where do we get faith? It comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. See, my faith needs to grow. Amen. Spend more time in the book. It'll quench every dart. I could go through, I've got 15 darts I could list. You're dealing with depression, that's a fiery dart. You're dealing with doubt, I just don't know if I'm saved. That's a fiery dart. You got demonic thoughts going in your head. The devil just has thrown fiery darts, and all he has to do is just breathe, and the flame blows up again. And yet the Bible says it's able to quench all the fiery darts. It absorbs the blow. Faith absorbs the heat and the blow of that attack. It leaves you unharmed. Isn't that how you like the end of the day? Isn't that how you like to go to sleep at night? Amen. Above all, having the shield of faith. But you got to have it with you. So, here's our illustration. John is waking up in the morning. Get a truth. Force yourself to remember something that is true from God's book, from God's perspective. You may have a perspective, but you don't know if it's right. Have something from God's book that's true. Then as you wake up, you put on the breastplate of righteousness, you realize, I'm safe in Jesus Christ. I'm in His hand, and His hand is in the Father's hand. Amen. And I'm going to do something with that righteousness He's given me. Then you put on your gospel shoes, and you set out, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready, prepared, with the gospel of peace. Bring me across somebody I can give the gospel to today. Fourth thing, pick up the shield of faith. And say, Lord, help me to distrust You. Help me to know when the fiery darts come that You are my defense and my shield. They may fire away, the flames may burn around me, but I'll get through it. That's how you're going to have to wake up in the morning. Say, do that? Yeah, it'll keep you sane all day. How to get your faith to work? Four real quick thoughts. I like this guy. Amen. How do you get it to work? First of all, get some fresh faith. You say, I got faith. Every day you need to read the Bible and get fresh faith. Make it Brennan's. Today's bread, today. Have fresh faith. What happened if you went and you collected manna and you put it on the shelf and waited to eat it tomorrow? What happened to the manna? It grew worms. God made it abominable. God says, get fresh bread every day. Fresh Bible. every day. That's how you reinforce your faith. Second thing, use your faith. Use your faith. Go to 2 Corinthians 5:7. Who's next? Who wants to read next? 2 Corinthians 5:7? All right. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Use your faith. All right, here, devil, come up here. Let's see, John, I need another devil. Let's see, I need one more devil. No, I just used two. Come up here, you be over here. John, over here, yeah. Now face me. All right, now I don't have a shield, okay, but I'm going to pretend I have a shield. All right, now you be back a little bit. Both of you are principalities and powers in my way. I'm afraid I'll bend it. I don't know. Anyway, we'll pretend, all right? Now, I can have layer upon layer of obstacle ahead of me. I don't see them. I don't know that they're there, but I know that they are there. And we walk by. All right. Here I get ready to go, and he's in my way. And he's in my way. But I'm going to stay walking. I'll bring out my sword next. I'm going to stay walking. Use your faith. Don't sit here like this going, oh, trouble's going to hit me. I know it's going to... I'm Irish. It's going to be a bad day. Don't you dare sit and cower. Use your faith. I don't care what the devil puts at you. I don't care what obstacles come at you. Just push it out of the way by faith. Walk by faith. Battle by faith. Push by faith. And you know what? The devil can't... The Bible says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Thank you, gentlemen. Thirdly, enjoy your faith. You know, isn't it cool when you get through the day and you went, you know what? Used to be, those old friends used to get me down. Used to be the television, the radio, everything had my attention. Today, people had my attention. I was worried about souls. I was worried about handing out the gospel. I wanted to be a blessing. And you look back and you go, that was fun. It's more fun being a victor than a victim. Amen? Amen. Enjoy your faith. How do you get it to work? Enjoy it. I mean, listen, there's nothing better than going, and being safe. Amen? Bless you. And don't forget, there's a last point. Don't forget to link your faith. Who are we supposed to link up with? Come out from among them and be separate, the Bible says. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. They have no shield. As a matter of fact, they will turn against you in battle. Link up. That's why God gave us a church. Somebody's under attack. Tony's under attack. Rally around him. Bring up the shields. And Tony's safe. Amen? Amen. Any questions? Dr. Berry. Yes, sir. The wicked is a general term that usually applies to the wicked one or the devil. But because it is the wicked, it could just be any wicked being or wicked person that's trying to attack us. I'll give you an illustration. You're at work and somebody sees you with your Bible and they just look at you and go, you read the Bible? Now that could be a fiery dart. Now it wouldn't be with you because you're quite solid on it. But a young Christian, here's Kevin at school, he's got all his books, he's got 400 pounds worth of books, but he's got a Bible with him in his pack there, and he pulls it out, and somebody notices and sees Kevin with a Bible, and he says, "Why, Kevin's got a Bible!" Amen! Exactly! But that is a fiery dart of the wicked. They want to hurt you. But, you know, if Kevin is strong enough, he may go, "Amen!" And then pick it up. "Can I read it to you?" Amen. It may be an opportunity to win them to Christ and give them the gospel. But the point, that's the fiery dart of the wicked. It could be anybody just trying to hurt you. Okay? Does that make sense? Any other questions? Good study. All right, you got 4 items to put on tomorrow morning and Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning. Next week, we'll talk about the helmet of salvation. As we stand, let's bow in prayer.